Someone has said that we live and die by the choices we make. The scriptures, I believe, make it clear that God will accept nothing less than wholehearted love and commitment from his children. Jesus declared in Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Again in Luke 14 and verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." In Luke 14 and verse 33, "We must forsake all. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." The choices that we all make in life reveal our heart. Our lives are made up of a continuous series of choices from early childhood until the day we die. Some of those choices are rather small and insignificant. Others are far-reaching. They have consequences that deal with eternity. When Israel was presented with the law from God, Moses said, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. When Israel took possession of the promised land, Joshua instructed them, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." The choices we make serve to demonstrate before God and the world exactly where our devotion lies. We may say one thing, but the choices we make may indicate the very opposite. Some have made wrong choices in the Bible that stand out and warn us against such choices. The Bible tells us that long ago, when Lot beheld the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. I don't know that he knew at that particular time the consequences of that decision. It may well be that he never realized the lush green pastures provided for his cattle would someday lead him into a city of iniquity, sin, ungodliness, causing him to lose his family. God finally chose to destroy that wicked city, and he warns Lot to escape. In the process, the Bible says that Lot lost his married daughters and sons-in-laws, and also his wife, and everything he possessed. It was a poor choice. On that day, I'm sure it was a good choice in his eyes, maybe a wise one, and maybe one that he thought was best. But surely on that day, driven from that city, after losing practically everything he had, he must have known, "I made a bad choice. I just simply pitched my tent in the wrong direction." That's happened to so many people and continues to happen to people today. We all know that environment is a very powerful influence in our life. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. Where you live makes a difference. The people you grow up among makes a difference. There is a difference in every person because of the environment in which they live. Many lives have been ruined by choosing the wrong companions and friends. And I say to all of our young people, and all of us, in fact, many times the people you choose will take you to the wrong place where you don't belong. They will introduce you to conduct that you need to avoid, and they will get you involved in activities that will destroy you, such things as strong drink, immorality, and pleasure. All of this especially is true of young minds. Often people don't even realize what's happening. Over a period of time, they begin to change their thinking because of what they see and the people they know, the places they go, and the activities that they become involved in. You know, sometimes we don't realize what is happening. I read the other day about a man who went shopping. He had to run into the grocery store to buy milk for his family, and he just left the keys in the car. When he came back out, the car was gone. He notified the police that someone had stolen his car. went home, got a ride home, and explained to his wife that he had mistakenly left the keys in the car, and now the car was gone. Next morning when he got up, he looked out the window, and there his car was in the driveway. He ran out, opened the door of the car, and there was a note on the seat. And the note said, "I apologize for taking your car. I was in a bind and I needed it to go somewhere, and so I took advantage of it. Here are two tickets to the Dallas Cowboys game today. Go and enjoy the game on me." He went back in and he told his wife, "You can't believe this. The car's in the driveway, and here are two tickets to the football game today. Get ready and let's go." And they did. And when he got home, his house was cleaned out. They had stolen everything he had. He just simply didn't know what was happening. He just simply was not aware of the fact that he had been had, and he had lost everything he had. You know, the truth is, there are many people today that never expect what's going to happen to them. They never anticipate that the friendship or the marriage or whatever the relationship might be will take them in the wrong direction. I think about King Solomon. The reign of this king began with promising fashion as he requests God for wisdom to reign. You know, when you read that, you have to think, here's a man who has it all together. Here's a man who knows right from wrong, good from bad. Here's a man who will be able to survive. However, in direct violation of God's law, he marries many foreign women, amassing a total of 700 wives. That was wrong in itself. But then beyond that, they began to influence him. And they influenced him in the wrong direction. And this great king, who started out with such promise, embraced idolatry. He allowed it to exist in the nation. He allowed it to exist in their neighborhood. These foreign women who brought with them their foreign gods turned this man's heart away from God and turned him to idols. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11, verses 4 through 8, that his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. You know why? He made a bad choice. Solomon made a bad choice, and that choice led him into sin. Because he was unfaithful to God, he is told that the kingdom would be divided and torn away from him and his family. His decisions placed earthly pleasure ahead of service to God. And unfortunately, he, like far too many people today, lost his heart because he clung to his wives instead of clinging to God. You know, one of the most important decisions that young people are ever going to make is the decision of choosing a mate. I don't know of anybody that can deny the strength of two faithful Christians marrying and serving God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, there's an amazing passage. It says so much. "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Zacharias and Elizabeth, think about that. What a wonderful marriage. What a wonderful couple. They were both righteous before God. I can think of nothing greater tonight than a family that consists of a man and woman who are righteous before God. You know, the Apostle Paul never did think in terms of marrying anyone except a Christian. I really believe that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife?" He could have just as easily said, "Don't I have a right to be married? Don't I have a right to get married like everybody else?" He said that, but he also said, "My marriage will be to a believing wife, a Christian. Bobby Key was a preacher for the church in Miami, Oklahoma for a number of years. And in that congregation where he was laboring, not really very far from here, there were 143 Christian young people were married during his time there. 79 of those 143 people married non-Christians. Of that number, 59 left the church, and only 22 remained faithful. Only 14 converted their companion, and 25 of that number, their marriage ended in divorce. 64 of those Christians married other Christians. Of that number, only 5 left the church. 59 of them all remained faithful, and only 2 were divorced. You know, those numbers speak volumes. Essentially, they say, in practice, when you marry a non-believer, your marriage may be in trouble. They simply point out that when a man and woman together in marriage, building a home, are not together in their religion and in their beliefs and in their practices, there can be great trouble. I encourage all the young people in this audience tonight, as our brother did a few moments ago, don't ever think of marrying anyone who is not a Christian. The person you marry will either help you get to heaven or they will hinder you from going to heaven. It's a choice that has to be taken very seriously. Never marry just to get married. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I'm 28 years old and I'm not married yet. I've got to get married. I'm getting old. And so they marry the first chance they get and maybe the first person they see. But I got news for you. There are a lot of things in life worse than being single. If you don't believe that, talk to a lot of married people. There are worse things than being single. And that one of those things would be a marriage that ends in divorce and trouble. There are untold numbers of people whose lives have been ruined because they made the wrong choice. The choices we make in life define who we are. The choices we make in life determine where we will spend eternity. You know, the problem with bad and foolish decisions goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it extends throughout the remainder of divine revelation. There was Judas who made such a pitiful choice in selling Christ. The rich young ruler who turned with his riches away from Christ. Samson who chose Delilah. Ahab who chose Jezebel and went and served Baal and worshiped him. The prodigal who chose harlots. All these remind us of the foolishness that often characterizes people in the decisions that they make. And tonight, if you're in this audience and you're not a Christian, you're about to make a decision. You're going to be given the opportunity to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and be buried with him in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. It may well be the greatest decision of your life tonight. This may be the time that you either say, I will or I won't. I am or I'm not going to. And that decision made in the next 30 to 60 seconds may determine where you spend eternity. The decisions of life define who we are. They define where we're headed and where we will eventually spend eternity. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to be. If you are a Christian or you have been and you're not living right, then you need to straighten up your life.